I have a hunch. I have a hunch that the blind old priest Eli was a real chainsaw at night. I mean, I'm pretty sure that this dude was cutting down forests every night. And he was so loud, is my guess, that Samuel would sleep in the quietest part of the temple. Do you remember that detail from this morning? Listen to this real quick. It was before dawn. The sanctuary lamp was still burning. Samuel was in bed in the temple of God, where the chest of God was buried. I'm pretty sure that the boy, Samuel, was trying to get to the as far away from Eli as he could. And it just so happened that that particular place that I just read again is the most holy place in all of the church at that time. Now, when you read 1 Samuel chapter 3, the very first verse is incredibly important. And so we'll put it up here on the screen. It says, "In those days, the word of the Lord was rare."
There it was.
Okay, one more. You guys will find it. "In those days, the word of the Lord was rare." When that thing pops on the screen, there it is. I would like for you to take just a minute here, no more, but try and figure out what does that mean? Question number one, the word of the Lord was rare. What does that mean? And the second question is even more important. Is that still true today? Okay, so you talk about it. What does that mean? Is it still true? First question, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. What does this mean? This is straight Bible verse here, so we want to try and dig into it a little bit. Sorry. Yeah.
That God might be using Samuel.
Okay, that God will be using him, right? Excellent, I like that. Let's go, not Patagonia, one back, sorry.
That God wasn't speaking as much.
Two people. That's good. Any thoughts over here? Okay, we'll let it go like that. Okay, everybody's got to respond to this one. This means yes. This means no. Okay? No fences. Is this still true today? Yes? No? Is this still true today? Look around. We're all doing this together. Is this still true today? Okay, good. Hands down. A lot of my questions over the span of the last 3 days haven't had real answers to them, right? It's kind of been like how you experience it, whether the answer is yes or no. In fact, Emerson, who is not my daughter, but Emerson, the nurse's son, he's like, "Josh, just tell me. Like, you asked this question, what's the right answer?" This one has a right answer. So, Emerson, this is for you. The answer is no. The word of the Lord is not rare today. In those days, the word of the Lord is rare. In these days, the word of the Lord is not rare. And tonight what I want to do is break down some theology with you. Okay, scholars, you can handle this. So in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 14, we have this verse. This verse says, "The word became flesh and lived among us." Will, jump back one real fast. Backwards. Yes. "In those days, the word of the Lord was rare." Flip it. "The word became flesh." Theology is happening right here. We're going to push pause on Samuel, and we'll come back to him in a moment. Last night, I told you the book of Colossians chapter 2, that Jesus was God in human body. Here, the author John is functionally saying the exact same thing. He calls Jesus the Word. And I was thinking, how do I put this into a junior high context for y'all? And so, you know how the Greek freak is also Giannis Akinesimakotopoulos?
Yeah!
Right. That's so Giannis Antetokounmpo is not his, right, that's his real name, but we all call him the Greek freak because nobody can pronounce Giannis. Right, see, I can't understand it when you sip. All right, here's a better example. Do you know how Carlos Gomez is called a ticking time bomb? Because that dude, does Carlos Gomez still play for the Brewers?
No.
Oh, man, Astros. Anyway, Carlos Gomez was a ticking time bomb and still is. Here's what the book of John says, that Jesus can be seen, touched, eaten with, cried alongside. He will throw your kids the same way that I will throw kids. He builds whips. He tells stories. He parties. He laughs and he sleeps. Jesus can be known. And out of all those things, Jesus, you've heard your staff say it over and over and over every single time we get together. They say he came to live and die and resurrect and appear to many. Jesus, the Word, can be known. The Word is not rare today. Because just like last night, if you ask God, can I see your glory? He'd say, yeah, and point to Jesus. Back to Samuel. Samuel's a boy about your age at this point. And God says his name. This should blow your mind a little bit. I'm going to read again the words from this morning because you guys probably haven't broken it down yet. So listen to this really quickly. This is 1 Samuel chapter 3, starting in verse 4. Then God called out Samuel, Samuel. Verse 6, God called again Samuel, Samuel. Verse 8, God called again Samuel the third time. God called Samuel's name over and over. He wanted Samuel's attention because he had a job, something very intimate and specific for Samuel to do. Do you remember what that was? To become a, begins with a P and rhymes with prophet. Prophet, very nice. And here's the kicker. According to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 7, Samuel doesn't know how to respond. And chapter 3, verse 7 tells us why. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. This is the same as Moses up on the mountain. Moses, who led 1 million slaves out of Egypt to go worship the Lord. Moses said what? The very first thing, teach me. Samuel did not yet know the word of the Lord. Because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Who's the Greek freak? Who's the ticking time bomb? Who is the word? It's Jesus. Because Jesus has not yet been revealed to Samuel in the story. Pause on Samuel one more time. Jump to ourselves. Some of you may be like Samo tonight. Some of you may be like Samo tonight. You might be here at Fort for the first time or the 15th time, surrounded by beauty, by songs, surrounded by community, surrounded by love. But some of you may not have yet heard or been revealed the word of the Lord. Or maybe you don't understand for yourself why Jesus is a big, big deal. And so I got your back. So what I'm going to do right now is just pause my sermon, and I want to take you through why Jesus is a big deal, okay? The reason I love teaching through the Old Testament is because we have to learn how to see who God is so we can fully love Christ, so we can love Jesus. And so that word love we use a lot. And whenever I read scripture, especially the Old Testament, which is what we've been working through, when I see that God loves the world. And he doesn't love the trees here at Fort. He doesn't love Spider Lake here at Fort. He loves the world. That means he loves humanity. That means he loves you and he loves me. But the Bible doesn't stop there. When it talks about the character of how God loves it, he loves it so much, is what it says. He loves it so much that because of his love, he did something. He sent his son. That would be Jesus. It was the Word. The Word had not yet been revealed in the Old Testament. But we've got the whole book. We can see Jesus. Last night, if we would ask God to see his glory, what would he do? Point at Jesus. We've got that. The Word has been revealed. We can see Jesus. But why? Why can we see him, know him, touch him, build whips together? I keep saying that to set you up for a couple days ahead. Throwing kids, throwing parties, laughing, celebrating, singing, moving to the cross. Because humanity is broken. Tom did a great job. Where'd you go, Tom? Yeah. Where is he? He slipped out? Where's Tom? Sphere spinner. Where is he? Andrew. Oh, sorry. My bad. I blew the name. Sorry, Andrew. That's my bad. I couldn't find you. I was looking for you. Exactly what you said tonight, though, Andrew. Man, we are broken folks. And here's the thing. The type of brokenness that we are cannot be fixed by us. There's a mortal wound that we carry that we cannot fix. And here's the deal. We can't fix ourselves, and there's a character of God that we keep looking for in Scripture. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 tells us what this character of God looks like. It's go. Oh, he cannot be seen. Didn't know that was coming. That's okay. It's 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. It says, God is light. In him there is no darkness. God is light. The character of God is radiance. Remember what Moses was like when he came down from 40 days with God. He was so radiant that he had to do what? Yeah, wear the veil. That is the character of God. God is light. In him, there is no darkness. And here's the deal. With that mortal wound, with sin in us, we cannot enter relationship with him. We sing songs in worship like, God, you're a good father. But we cannot enter that place because of sin. But here's the great news. God knew that too and loved the world, humanity, so much that he sent Jesus. And Jesus became flesh. Here's that theology. I don't know where we're at, Will. So if you can give me either John 1, 14 or 1 John 1, 7. Yeah, cool. Here's the storyline, that Jesus came to live perfectly here on earth, to move to the cross, to fix the thing that you and I can't. Jesus came and lived on earth to move to the cross, to fix the thing that you and I cannot fix. It's the penalty for sin. It's the penalty for sin, and Jesus took that. Let's try one more. 1 John 1, verse 7 says this. It says, the blood of Jesus, who is God's Son, purifies you and I from all sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Verse 5 talks about the character of God. He is light, and in him there is no darkness. 2 verses later, it says, the blood of Jesus, the person of Jesus, the Word becoming flesh, living and going to the cross, that act purifies us. Now, when I have 1 John 1:5 in my head, God is light, in him there's no darkness, and then I hear this word, purify. And I know that it's taking brokenness. I know that it's taking death, which is darkness, and it is turning it back to light. That is what relationship with God looks like. Guys, Samuel was a boy about your age, and God called his name because there was something for Samuel to do. God had a job for a kid your age. Step Up Camp, that is true today for you. And so if you don't know how to respond to God calling you, we're going to sing a little bit. And I want you to hear the words. But if you have heard God speak, or you have never said, I know what that looks like, that I am broken and I cannot fix myself. If that's a new thought for you, then I would love to pray with you, and Andy and Nolan and Angie, we would love to pray for you. Your counselors, they love you. And they want to pray with you and remind you who you are whenever you move into relationship with God. That something Jesus did, coming to earth, living, and then going to the cross to heal you, to restore you. And here's the promise from Jacob. Here's the promise from Moses. You don't live perfectly after that, but you have right relationship with God. And he, just like Jacob, he takes off your name that you might be carrying, the luggage, the sin, your junk in your past. And he takes those away from you and he gives you a new identity. And you become a son. You become a daughter of the King. Going to open up this room over here, and if that's new for you, if you've never made that movement of, wait a minute, I'm carrying these things, I don't live like a son or a daughter, but I want to. If that's a move, that the word is being revealed to you, if you're hearing your name being called, we want to pray with you, we want to hug you. You are well loved by Christ.